Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Sorry about the delay. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Okay, we have a really cool night to work on tonight. It's so consistent with the one that we just did, too. You know, reason versus error. Now, again, A Course in Miracles is just taking you very tightly with what we were just studying to apply, catch yourself when you need to apply A Course in Miracles. It's so easy to follow the ego's impulses like fear or guilt or worry or, you know, whatever the ego's up to, any kind of contraction or loss idea or a fascination. I love this. I put this on my refrigerator for probably a year, and it was a little saying I saw somewhere, and it said, don't be afraid of success. No, don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of failure. Be afraid of succeeding at something that really doesn't matter. And I had a high-tech job where I was doing very well, and they wanted to promote me, and I could go on and on. It just didn't matter. You know, all this computer stuff, It's really cool. We're right here in Silicon Valley. It's all very exciting. I was working on machine vision. You know, it's cool stuff, but it just didn't matter. And so can I use my Course in Miracles training when it counts to make choices not for the ego and choose? I would really, really like more awareness of what's really going on. And each time that I have succeeded, I get, my life gets simpler. I understand more the shadows of living get smaller or disappear. So let's go. Let's do more. So now in this section we're setting tonight, and for the next couple of weeks, it's called the branching of the road. You know, where you come to an obvious decision point, right? I mean, you come 477 pages into A Course in Miracles. You might, you know, you're probably found that A Course in Miracles has illustrated the problem, and it's you.
That's for sure.
You're the problem in your life. And now, A Course in Miracles is working with you so that you can appreciate when it's time for you to make a different choice. Happens all the time, every single day. It even happens while you're dreaming. And so we're training our mind. We're training our mind to go back toward the light, and we're training our mind not to be so, what would the phrase be? How about readily distracted by loss? How about anticipating fear? The ego is so used to doing this. You've been trained that way because you've been living with an ego and a body. All day long, all the time, you've got a choice. It's really between up and down. There is no neutral. And I have come to appreciate a lot of people in this world. They like down. They actually like down. I mean, they prefer up if you ask them, but they get more, what is it? Confirmation. They get confirmation when they find out that things are bad or that somebody did mistreat them. I just had a conversation with a friend today who just really wanted to hear that customer service for Comcast was indeed ignoring her personally. Not because we've had service disruption to cost 50% of Santa Cruz County in the last 60 days. That's not the problem. She really really want it down.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, so when you are in relationship with that person, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking I have an example, but I don't need mine. What is your helpful response? How do you be true? I mean, I know you can't script it, but in that moment, that you're kind of acknowledging this person is committed to their ego identity and how this supports that and all that kind of stuff. And that's fine. I could understand that, but what good does that do for them and for me, for my soul or for my spirit, if you will?
Yeah.
And so I need the voice of spirit to speak through me.
Yep. It's always the challenge of taking a negative and phrasing it into a positive. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is translates the negative thoughts into positive thoughts. That's your challenge. If you're going to speak for the Holy Spirit, now if you're not up to it, your challenge is just to listen. And a lot of people don't want to be corrected. And I found that's the case with her, because I've done the positive thing. And sometimes it really works. She goes, oh, wow, that makes so much sense. Thank you. But she's not really happy because she's not going to fix her car or Comcast or whatever it is I explained. She wants her aggravation satisfied. It's a complex thing. So sometimes, you know, you don't try to fix things. I've had to learn that the hard way. I think guys more than, according to one book, Mars versus Venus, the guys want to fix things. And sometimes other people just want to speak it out and be heard. I had to learn that the hard way. But anyway, yes, Jacqueline.
Well, so my understanding is if somebody's in front of me doing that, somehow that's inside of me. And, you know, I see you as maybe being free of that. But do you feel like you're 100% free of that, so that when she's reflecting that to you, that it's not in you at all? I'm just curious about that. Because
this is key. Good, Jacqueline. This is key. The understanding is still with you, right? And with me. Yeah. The understanding is there because I still have a body and understand everything. What's different is I don't feel it. I don't feel the loss.
Yeah. Okay.
And so in that way, she tells me the whole thing and I carefully listen, so that, you know, you have to appreciate the problem. You can't just come out with the answer. But I'm not upset by it. And what I do also, I work so that she can appreciate that I know what she's feeling. I don't feel it. I am free. I'm free of those. And I can still get on the phone and work my necessary things to get my phone fixed. But it's without this sense of fear, agitation, or loss. It just is sort of superfluous. It's superfluous. It costs extra, so I don't have to do it anymore. It's really good. But as A Course in Miracles says, I think it's in chapter 14 or so, it's really unhelpful to deny what you've been through or to ignore what the ego goes through. You are no longer helpful to your brother. Mm-hmm. You're no longer helpful to your own mind that still believes your brother exists. So part of your transition out is what in Buddhism they call the Bodhisattva vow, stated 10 times in Course in Miracles as well, before you take your own complete freedom. You would go help all others who are not yet free. And it's an infinite number. But of course, you can't leave anything behind. But that's the key, is that I am free of feeling it, but I can still think it. I understand the logic.
Yes, yeah, so the Holy Spirit is in my mind. The Holy Spirit is your mind.
Yes. Yes. So, and so is the ego.
And so is the ego. So the Holy Spirit, by Jesus' explanation, sees the illusion, but also sees the truth.
Yes.
And so what you're saying is, okay, ideally, you can be of the Holy Spirit and see the grievance, see the illusion.
Yes.
But in the company of Holy, that the other part of Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit translates it.
Yes.
Your perception, mm-hmm. so that, and thereby, speaks through you. Actually, you can't premeditate what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit is going to say the perfect, or have you do or not do anything, the perfect thing to respond to this person's.
Yeah, that's right.
To validate their truth.
To validate their truth, exactly.
Without correcting them.
Without correcting them and without supporting their lies.
Yes, without supporting their lies.
And so what I do when she's talking, like today, just happened a couple hours ago, today, I opened my eyes and my body language was open, not closed and like, completely open and accepting. And I let her speak it out, and I could begin to sense or feel where she was going. And I then ask a few probing questions to find out, because number five, you're never upset for the reason you think is really true. She's not upset because of the repair man. Obviously, to me, right? So what I did is I ask a few more questions about what it's like, what will it be like if your phone doesn't get fixed for another week? What'll happen? What's going to be like for you? And then she got to really tell me what she was worried about, or the meeting that was coming up, or she the unfairness that she felt. And so guess where we ended up? It wasn't the phone at all. It took me about probably 5 minutes, though, 3 or 5 minutes. It was the road repair, not the phone. She wasn't upset for the reason she thought. She didn't know. The road repair crew also, right in front of her house, there's a big pothole that's forming. And she feels personally responsible to go fix it, but she can't. She's trying with the digging, and she's getting glaucoma development, so eye pressure. She can't dig, and she wishes she could, but she can't, and she feels responsible, and she knows she's not going to fix it, and she feels guilty. And that came out, and that's what she actually needed to discuss. That's what the feeling was actually not for the reason she was stating in the beginning. But I just followed, I asked a few questions, and it came out.
And that's all the ego playground is, all that stuff she was going through.
Yep.
And our
task, ego playground.
That's what I meant.
Yep, that's what you said.
And so our task is to not join in that playground.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of skillfully, because you don't want to join in the falsehood. You want to join in the truth that is there in absolutely everything in this world, and that is going to be a call for love. If it isn't out-and-out love, if it isn't somebody offering love, it's somebody asking for love, and there is no neutral.
Yeah. And Jesus says, I will respect your illusion.
Yeah.
But I will not, he says it in better words, but
you're doing great.
I will respect your illusion, but I will not support it.
Yeah.
But you have to do, it's very interesting because it is my experience that people want to feel like you hear them.
Yes.
They want to feel heard. I want to feel heard, not people.
Mm-hmm. You
know, this character, Don, wants to feel like I'm being heard.
Yes.
And until I feel like I'm being heard, I think the problem is that I'm not being heard. And I want to keep forcing you to hear me.
Yeah.
And so the listener can let the person feel heard. And from my point of view, for me, would be, is that idea that I listen with kindness and compassion, understanding, acceptance, and then I just I return to Holy Spirit. That's part of the process of returning to Holy Spirit, and let have something come of this interaction that will answer her call for love.
And love is being secure. And love is sharing. Love is free from need. Love is strong, not weak. Light, not dark. And so all I do is I have my 10 principles in the back of in the manual for teachers about how I can behave. I can be honest with her and tell her the truth of what I see. I can be gentle with her. I can be truthful with her. I can be tolerant of her different approaches to problem solving. I can be defenseless. If she says maybe I'm the problem, I could be defenseless. I mean, that's more loving, isn't it? Love doesn't defend, right?
Yeah.
And so all of these 10 things allow me to be approachable. And she continues to open up and open up and open up.
Because she's seeking to be healed.
Yes. And in this case, she's seeking power. She was feeling very weak. And so eventually it got down to, if she'll ask, only if she asks, what can I do? And then we says, what can I do? And I told her what she can do. There's actually a web form, and there's an app that you could get on your phone, take a picture of a pothole, and it gets right to the crew to support people. Okay, Luann, and then Jacqueline.
I love hearing how to work with people who have the same issues that I have. what I was going to say is, for me, the lesson in that is treat myself the way I would treat her.
Nice.
In other words, I need to remember to be tolerant for myself and know that I'm looking for love and defenseless and the main part I would say is, it's kind of like there is no loss no matter what happens in this egoic world. If someone told me I couldn't study this book anymore.
That is part of your spiritual awakening, is to understand freely without any struggle that there is no loss in this material world. And you should be asking that of A Course in Miracles daily. That's part of your spiritual awakening. Now, the material awakening is loss after loss after loss, and then guess what happens? You lose your own life. You die.
No, it's like you have to treat yourself the way you want to be able to treat others.
That's certainly a very good practice. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Can I just ask, Andrew, what did you mean by ask the Course that every day?
Oh, when you do your lesson. If you could get an existential question, you know, the hard questions, right, that everybody's trying to answer, you know, like, how is it can I be free of loss? How can I be free of loss when I'm going to be hungry in an hour? I got bills to pay. I got a doctor's appointment that might be cancer. How this is ridiculous. I mean, I'm losing all the time. But you know what? If you follow the heart of this book, go all the way. Challenge it and say, hey, okay, Course in Miracles, how can I be free of loss? And take the lesson. I can maybe it's 128. I lose the world from all I thought it was. Maybe it's 198. I'm not a body.
Well, it just occurred to me, too, that for years I read the Course feeling a loss. And so I could say, help me read this lesson and read the text that goes yes. with it without feeling a loss.
Boy, Don, I'm here right now on a Zoom call with you to encourage you to ask that very question.
I will.
Touch the loss with your physical hand. Do not ignore it. Touch it. Feel it. And then with your mind and your eyes, go to your Course in Miracles and say, how can I proceed with no loss?
Thank you.
You bet. That's a door you can go through. That's how you have spiritual awakenings, is you find the particular stumbling block and you admit it And you take it and you, and what the Course in Miracles calls bringing the darkness to the light. You don't bring light to the darkness. You don't bring the eternal, infinite into your closet of problems. It doesn't fit. You take your closet of problems, which you can actually put your arms around, and carry it into the infinite light. And there you see it in proper perspective, and the light will shine it away. But that's the orientation. That's what I say. Touch your loss. It's gonna probably be in your gut, because that's where the body shoots out the little hormones of fear. You can actually feel them. Your brain's thinking it. Your body's going to answer it with a little bit of adrenaline, a little bit of cortisol. Kind of burns just a little bit, gently, slowly. But you feel it inside your rib cage. And it makes its way throughout your vascular system. So acknowledge it. But you're going to take that, which you acknowledge as a darkness, a shadow figure, Course in Miracles calls it, if it's attached to a particular human being or of an event, it's called a shadow figure in chapter 16. You take that to the light. You don't take that and keep it right where it is and say, I will shine so much light on this a-hole that I will turn them into an angel. Right? Backwards. Okay.
I'll bring that asshole to the light. Okay.
Jacqueline.
Well, back to when you were talking about how you related to and expressed with the woman. So, I mean, that's a healing. When I'm doing that with somebody, that's total healing for me, because I'm healing all the aspects of that other person, that any remnants of it. Maybe there's a lot of it in me. Maybe there's just a tiny remnant still, right?
Yeah.
Because it's appearing before me, but when you're being defenseless and kind and patient and all these things, that's, and of course, when we are feeling defenseless and we are feeling kind, then we are that.
Yes.
And that's where the giving and the receiving is the same.
Beautifully said.
It's healing for our mind.
Beautifully said. Yep.
So that's just what I want to, because we're talking about the other person and how to respond to them, but there's this whole my mind.
Yes.
Healing that's going on at the same moment with how I am with that.
Yes.
Isn't that another way of just bringing the darkness to the light?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And this is the way that you become. This is the way you become the eternal. You become love by surrendering to it. Yes, abiding as it in that moment. Very good. What do you got, Mark?
Yeah, I was just thinking about, it's funny you mentioned that conversation with that woman. I was reading today this section, In Absence of Felicity, and there was, Helen had this friend that was in the hospital, and she wanted to know what to say to her. I think she was going to die of cancer or something. And Ken said, well, why don't you ask Jesus what to say to her? And the answer that Helen got was, Jesus said, don't ask me what to say to her. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see the truth in her.
Mm. Wow. Translate what's in your mind, not try to fix the situation right now.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Isn't that kind of what Andrew was saying when he reminded us that, or whoever did it, that we're all searching for love, and that's kind of what, when you get down to it, they're all wanting. She wanted understanding and love and sympathy from Andrew.
Yep.
And she got it because he finally figured out what was wrong, was able to say, that's fixable.
You know something else I've learned with her? Is I have to take her more seriously. You know, what she's feeling. Because sometimes she would say, you're smiling. Because she'd go off on one of these rants, and her ego just made something really, but I know it's small and solvable, and she's just really panicking. And I'll get the, and my the corners of my mouth will start to crack up just a little bit. She seems to notice it. Like I can't, I really have to get serious and to join her to not have a rejection occur. I really can't see, cause I see the ego just really getting excited over something that is going to be over. And even if we do nothing, it's over in a few days. Sometimes a lot of things like that happen.
Doesn't Jesus even say, don't laugh at a brother or something like that?
It makes sense if he did.
I think I read that one time.
Yeah, that can really cause a lot of trouble when you laugh at somebody. Yes, I think that would be good sage advice. But you know, to Jacqueline's point, when I take her ego, rants more seriously, I can actually get past my own trip up on it, which is, you know, and go into the feeling that's there, the call for love. And it's been pretty sweet. I just feel myself joining with her more. Even though I'm not believing what she's worried about, I am believing she would like to feel more love. She doesn't want to be so alone in the problem, and I can join her. It's been kind of interesting that way. Let's go look at the branch in the road. What's it like to stand there and say, which way should I go? Because you're so ready for this. Everybody here has done the workbook. You're so ready to have Jesus point out this subtle decision-making reminder. Page 477 in the text. Luann, when you get there, can you just start reading for us?
The branching of the road. When you come to the place where the branch in the road is quite apparent, you cannot go ahead. You must go either one way or the other. For now, if you go straight ahead the way you went before, you reach the branch, you will go nowhere. The whole purpose of coming this far was to decide which branch you will take now. The way you came no longer matters. It can no longer serve. No one who reaches this far can make the wrong decision, although he can delay. And there is no part of the journey that seems more hopeless and futile than standing where the road branches and not deciding on which way to go.
Mark gave us paragraph 2.
It is but the first few steps along the right way that seem hard. Mm-hmm. For you have chosen, although you still may think you can go back and make the other choice. This is not so. A choice made with the power of heaven to uphold it cannot be undone. Your way is decided. There will be nothing you will not be told if you acknowledge this.
Wow. Short, potent paragraph. Don, number 3, please.
I sure hope the rest of this chapter tells us what that last 2 lines mean, 3 lines.
Yeah, you bet.
And so you and your brother stand here in this holy place before the veil of sin that hangs between you and the face of Christ. Let it be lifted. Raise it together with your brother, for it is but a veil that stands between you. Either you or your brother alone will see it as a solid block, nor realize how thin the drapery that separates you now. Mm-hmm. Now, yet it is almost over in your awareness, mm-hmm. and peace has reached you even here, before the veil. Think what will happen after. The love of Christ will light your face and shine from it into a darkened world that needs the light. Mm-hmm. And from this holy place, he will return with you, not leaving it, nor you. You will become his messenger, returning him unto himself.
Wonderful. Thank you. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Number 4.
Think of the loveliness that you will see who walk with him. and think how beautiful will you and your brother look to the other. Mm-hmm. How happy you will be to be together after such a long and lonely journey where you walked alone. The gates of heaven open now for you. Will you now open to the sorrowful and none who looks upon the Christ in you but will rejoice? How beautiful the sight you saw beyond the veil, which you will bring to light the tired eyes of those as weary now as once you were. How thankful will they be to see you come among them, offering Christ's forgiveness to dispel their faith and sin.
So beautiful. Angel's work right there. You know, true friend and bringer of the light is so great. Jacqueline, do you have a question mark in your book on sentence four?
Let's see here. I'm sure I do. I just didn't. You're saying I didn't read it right?
No. I don't. I think it's a typo.
Yeah, I don't have a.
No, yeah, I wrote a question mark in there. Mark, do you have it on your digital edition?
I do not.
Yeah, I think it should be a question mark. It's one of the few typos that I.
Oh yeah, because will you now open to the sorrowful question mark? Is what you're.
Although Andrew, if you read that with an emphasis on, I'm just wondering if you read that as an instruction, the gates of heaven open now for you. Will you, like not wish, but will you?
Yeah.
Now open to the sorrowful. Do you see what I'm saying? Will you activate your will?
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, it's sort of describing.
That's the only way that I can go without a question mark.
Very good, Don, because it's predicting what you're going to do.
Yes, exactly. Do you see that too, Jacqueline?
The gates of heaven open now for you.
I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, it's still missing a adverb or something. With the gates of heaven open now for you, will you now open to the sorrowful? It's still missing an adverb. The way it's written needs a question. Well, who cares? Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think it's assuming that we've already have the gates have opened up.
Hey, you know, another thing is fun. When I find something like this, I'll go into the urtext and I'll find the actual scribing and find out that maybe a whole paragraph was deleted, right? You know, that sentence was a whole paragraph before. Sometimes you get crazy stuff like that. Or a whole page happened between that sentence and the one before. Okay, so number five, Luann.
Every mistake you make and your brother make, the other will gently have corrected. For in his sight, your loveliness is his salvation, which he would protect from harm. And you will be your brother's strong protector from everything that seems to rise between you both. So shall you walk the world with me, whose message has not yet been given everyone. For you are here to let it be received. God's offer will... I got with me. Is he talking about himself? So you walk the world with me. Seems like that. Is he talking about Jesus or is that about with whom?
Yeah, yes, because you're gonna correct your mind, and Jesus is the corrected mind. That's what Jesus is. And now you're gonna join Jesus in correcting your mind, and now you can walk a mistaken world with a corrected mind, and you're truly helpful.
Okay, so is that me? Should it be capitalized is what I'm getting at?
Nope. Okay. Jesus should not be capitalized. Why not?
You told us that last time, didn't you?
Why not? Why is not Jesus capitalized in A Course in Miracles?
Because
what, Jacqueline?
We're equal brothers. We're equal holy. Yeah. He's equal with us. I mean, he's there. He's our elder brother, but we're still holy brothers.
Jesus is not divine. Jesus has taken on divinity as his only guide. Jesus is a character in the dream. That's how come you know his name. He's not capitalized. It's so great that came through this book. It is so, and it's consistent. It's just amazing.
And you told us that just last week and I forgot.
Well, I probably told you last year.
I have a question then. For you, the you are here to let it be received.
Yes.
The you that he is talking to is the true you, the true me you.
Yes.
Not this body Dawn.
Right.
But the sleeping mind.
Correct.
Okay.
And the mind that's choosing rightness or choosing holiness.
Yes.
So you've gone from unholiness or ego addiction to holiness. That's to you who's reading the book. It looks like Dawn. If you walk in front of a mirror, as you awaken, you'll still be represented by this character in the dream, but you're healing and you're starting to see light and love everywhere. It's like, what is really going on here? So everything gets translated. Your Holy Spirit gets a more and more active role in your own mind as you go along.
Yes. Yes. More and more and more. It's like Helen Schuckman says, or actually it wasn't Helen. I think it was, Ken Wapnick's wife said, "We don't think we're thunk."
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's kind of like that. We begin to be,
yeah.
The Holy Spirit is thinking through us, so to speak.
Yes. Yes.
And we more and more identify with that until we realize, well, that's me. Or that's the you. That's the mind.
There is a transition that occurs, a shift in perception about what you are. And it is a shift from that I am living, I am struggling and deciding and figuring things out. I'm living. And that shifts to I am being lived. That there is a kernel of divinity that is at the center of my mind. And that kernel of divinity is the actual force that allows the mind to move. It's what we call living. Living is a verb. So the expression of life, which does not move, life does not move. Life is infinite and eternal. But living moves. And so now we're learning how to translate that. Then I'm learning that I turn myself over to the more of the eternal perspective, even as I occupy a non-eternal character. There is a part of character that is eternal, but this is a part you wake up to. There's a part that's absolutely not eternal. The ego belief in separation and that identity with a frail victim character, that disappears. That is not eternal. That's just a little fantasy. Mm-hmm. Yep. You just little bit by little bit, you let go of some darkness, you replace it with some light, and you have a lighter day. And then you might find out that some of your darkness was really helpful to get you there. You were just too comfortable, maybe, in some areas of your life. You didn't have enough hammer and anvil in order to mold the metal in between. The hammer strikes hard and the anvil's unmovable. Damn it. But you come out the other side formed. Yep, there's a lot going on here. No mistake. Good, good, good. Okay, where did we get?
I'm going to start with the sentence I stopped with.
Okay, great.
So shall you walk the world with me, whose message has not yet been given everyone. For you are here to let it be received. God's offer still is open, yet it waits acceptance. From you who have accepted it, it is received. Into your hand, joined with your brothers, is it safely given. For you who share it have become its willing guardian and protector.
Mark, would you give us paragraph 6?
Sure. To all who share the love of God, the grace is given to be the givers of what they have received. And so they learn that it is theirs forever. All barriers disappear before their coming, as every obstacle was finally surmounted that seemed to rise and block their way before. This veil you and your brother lift together opens the way to truth to more than you. Those who would let illusions be lifted from their minds are this world's saviors, walking the world with their Redeemer and carrying his message of hope and freedom and release from suffering to everyone who needs a miracle to save him.
Sounds like a good use for your mind. To save the world, the Course in Miracles calls it. Mm-hmm. And Don, number 7.
How easy is it to offer this miracle to everyone? No one who has received it for himself could find it difficult. For by receiving it, he learned it was not given him alone. Such is the function of a holy relationship, to receive together and give as you received. Standing before the veil, it still seems difficult, but hold out your hand, join with your brothers, and touch this heavy-seeming block, and you will learn how easily your fingers slip through its nothingness. It is no solemn wall, and only an illusion stands between you and your brother and the holy self you share together.
Whew, beautiful. Wow. Very personal prescription for how you now have permission to let your mind move that way. Okay, let's turn back.
Huh? It seems like it offers the problem and offers the answer all in that one little chapter, part of the chapter.
Let's study it together. Let's dig in and just get every morsel of this. So turn back to 477, to paragraph 1. And Jacqueline, would you read that again for us? I got you mute.
The branching of the road. When you come to the place where the branch in the road is quite apparent, you cannot go ahead. You must go either one way or the other. For now, if you go straight ahead, the way you went before you reach the branch, you will go nowhere. The whole purpose of coming this far was to decide which branch you will take now. The way you came no longer matters. It can no longer serve. And nothing happened, right?
That's it.
Saying nothing, that's when you hopefully you realize, well, nothing really happens.
Very good, Jacqueline.
No one who reaches this far can make the wrong decision, although he can delay.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no part of the journey that seems more hopeless and futile than standing where the road branches and not deciding on which way to go.
Boy, this is Jesus really biting his tongue and trying to say very nicely, get with the program or suffer your own thoughts.
This must be a point where, you know, you hear A Course in Miracles students who totally turn away from it. And, you know, I have a feeling this would be a point where it'd be sort of dramatic way of turning away. I don't know. You feel, it just seems like a turning point. And I could see why somebody would say, I'm done with this. I'm not going to, it's, I, you know, somehow it's too upsetting or something, too traumatic. I don't know.
Yeah, and it puts too much on me. I mean, me, the studier, the person who wants to throw this book away, you say, I can't do it. I'm in too much pain.
Yeah.
You don't understand my loss. You don't understand what's happened in my life. You don't understand how much love is lost. I need help. I can't do this. This book says I should do this. I can't do this. I get it. If that's where you are, I get it. But, you know, we who've traveled through this book say, wow, you really need Course in Miracles. You really need to let your mind open just a little bit and trust and have a few holy instances occur where you don't get angry when once you did. And that's covered in this section, too. It reminds you that there are times when ugly situations, it's just you chose not to react with the ego. And it wasn't so ugly. Yeah. Discovering your own part in your misery is really a great gift.
And Andrew, wouldn't it be true when you have reacted angrily and then you realize it and you realize you were, you know, coming from ego? It's interesting what just came to me. You know, in the Bible, there's a place where it says something to the effect, when you've screwed up with somebody, you got to get over to them right away and make it right, in so many words. But in a course, since it's all in the mind, that misstep can be corrected in your own mind, and thereby it will be healed in that other person's mind. Would that be true?
Half true. Most of us live in and among other people. And so that other person, if you don't reach to that part of your mind, then it will continue to echo the error over and over and over and over. So you do say, I'm sorry. Because that's what they need to release, what they thought, you know, feel is wrong or suffering. So you do make an apology. You do say, you know what? I won't do that again. That was the wrong thing to do. I was selfish or whatever. And I want to treat you better. Even though you know that, you know, shit happens. Obviously I didn't mean it. What are you so worried about? Now, you don't say anything, right? That may be where you are, but you know, it's dishonest to be so selfish and say, I get it and you don't. That is so selfish. It's much better to be present if for a holy relationship, even though you get that it was a mistake and you're already over it, but you got to appreciate you're in this together and bring the other person along. Give them explanations, give them details, give them a sense of certainty that they are loved and this is not how you want to treat them, even though you're already over it. Now that's loving.
Well, yeah, I can say that for me, probably, getting over it, it's important for me to extend love to that other person.
Yeah. Yeah, bring them along. Mm-hmm. And find out, maybe you even get to find out, hey, you know, I know I'm not going to do this again, but what did you go through when I said that? When I mentioned my ex, for example. Or when I took your car without telling you, which I'll never do again. But still, what was it like for you? You know, you can do that. And you can actually get closer to this person, open up and do a little sharing. This is not small talk, right? You're actually saying, I want to love you more. I want to share with you more and know how you think, how you feel. Because I won't take your car again, but who knows what else I might take without appreciating what you're going to go through. So, it's a matter of sharing. Mm-hmm. All love is a matter of sharing. You want to do more love, bring more love and light here while you're living in a body. Holy relationship is about sharing. Yeah, very good. Okay.
And
go ahead, Jacqueline.
I said that was because, you know, I've had a couple of times, one reason, where, you know, somebody said, oh, you're doing A Course in Miracles. I know somebody who, you know, totally screwed up their life. You know, they had the So I was just thinking that, you know, there's a point, because it is, then you would feel, if you get into it enough, how hopeless and futile it is. You know, you get to that point. So, and I don't feel like I bought it at all. I didn't feel like that was not the way I was going to go. You know, I trusted that would not be the way I'd go, but who knows? Maybe I'll one day. Just trying to understand it a little bit.
Yes, that's right. Let's talk more about that, about the people for whom A Course in Miracles is too much of a reach, or about the depressing aspect of the first 30 lessons. It can be kind of depressing. Mm-hmm. Nothing I see means anything. I'm stuck on the past. Nothing is as I see it. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of points out that you're addicted to a problem. A lot of those first lessons are pretty rough, and you kind of wonder how can I ever, it puts you in your place. It sprinkles a few nice things here and there. And then it lays on the love, you know, starting in number 40 and on, you know, God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. What? That's kind of cool. And it picks you back up. But it's like boot camp, kind of shakes you down. And it can be depressing. Mm-hmm. Finding out that you're responsible, or if you, I don't know, there's so much interesting things in this book. One of them is the source, right? To me, the source was a turnoff when I first found it. I was kind of a scientific, practical guy, and the idea that some woman heard a voice in her head, I'm like, what? But that's not how I was introduced to the book. I actually met and sat with somebody without knowing what A Course in Miracles was. And I felt the power of the truth just pouring out of this person and the quotes and things, like, holy cow, what are you talking about? And so I read the book regardless of the source. And I had to make that adjustment into, you know, channeling kind of can be real. What? But for some people, the source is a reason to believe it. That it came from somewhere else, that it came from Jesus, it came through a very unlikely scribe. And so they will drag themselves into it saying, this must be true and I must do what it says because of its wild, otherworldly source.
That's true for me.
Okay, helpful. Yeah, a little motivation. For me, you know, it was internal. I just read a few pages and it went right to my heart and to my mind. And I thought, this book knows me better than I know me. How can I not turn the page and keep going? I didn't care where it came from. I just knew that this was rocking my world. And it's just getting more and more traction. So yeah, I got sucked in that way. But for people who it doesn't work, it's asking, they're too, what Eckhart Tolle calls the pain body, what A Course in Miracles called shadow figures. They are addicted to the negative, too deeply addicted to the negative. They're not actually asking or ready for help or light. So what they're doing is they're very busy playing in the mud. You get dirty when you play in the mud. You get very dirty. And if you get close to somebody who's having a great time playing in the mud, you will get dirty too. But you know, if that's what they're doing, let them go. Let them play. Do not throw pearls before swine. The swine won't appreciate the pearls. They love digging in the mud. They are happier than you could possibly make them with your little truth. But they can't understand it. And they can't understand you being happy not playing in the mud, see? So you can still join them because you understand that they are reaching for happiness and joy, but they're doing it with, well, I'm saying playing in the mud. There's all sorts of ego pursuits and lifestyles that I would consider kind of muddy. You get dirty. I don't want to get that kind of dirt. So I kind of avoid people that are busy doing that. Yeah. But I sure appreciate it, though, because I'm sure some of them are going to have more fun with their bodies in this lifetime than I will with mine. I got a neighbor who's a meth addict. And he is managing it very carefully. But he gets some highs, I'm sure, that I'll never know. He goes for days and days without sleeping. I don't know what that's like. But I consider that kind of muddy because of the effects. And I know the effects he goes through. Not to mention a little jail time here and there.
From the mud into the mud.
Yeah. It's all perspective, right? And it's all honest. Course in Miracles would be completely a joke to him. And I would have to laugh. If I heard him read a page of this, I would laugh. I heard him trying to be serious about one of these pages. Because I know what it means, what it means to him. It'd be kind of funny, entertaining even. Thank you, Jacqueline, for that comment. A Course in Miracles, its content is for everybody, but its form is not. Everybody wants peace. Everybody should have peace. Everybody should take responsibility to find their freedom. That's true for everybody. But in these 1,300 pages with no pictures and lessons one after the other, day for day, it's not for everybody. This is really for thinkers. This is for a little more of a type A kind of personality. A little more for people who are likely to take responsibility for their lives very personally. Yeah. Written by a couple of PhD teachers. Yeah. Okay. So when you come...
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you come to a fork in the road, you have to choose one. And I got the impression from reading this that whichever one you chose, you would still be pushed along by the Holy Spirit or something, that neither one of them would be wrong. The path you were taking that was wrong along the way, the so-called body path, and either of those paths, kind of like everybody has their own path.
Well, not exactly. Not exactly. It says that you can't make a wrong choice, but you can delay the right choice. Do you see the difference?
I don't remember the right choice being in there.
Mm-hmm. Let's read it again. When you come to the place where the branch of the road is quite apparent, you cannot go ahead, okay? Because it's a branch, it's a decision point. Now you get to this branch in the road because you thank God somehow, some way, and everybody's true for everybody here, you've had a moment of freedom. You have had a moment where you chose peace when things weren't so peaceful to your ego. You did anyway. You had a moment when you put your internal swords and weapons down. You chose peace. And you fell into compassion for those around you. And you were like, whoa, that felt good. To be defenseless, to be honest, to be trusting, to be gentle and tolerant and open-minded in this moment. You're like, wow, let me do that again. Somehow, some way, everybody here has slipped into a compassionate moment that led to a holy instant. Somehow, everybody here has read something in these pages that says, I want that, and I can have it. I believe in the authority and the certainty on these pages, and I know that it's up to me to take a step.
Okay, so I guess it's the first line of paragraph 2 that I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first few steps along the right way that seem hard. So that's inferring that there is a wrong choice.
That's correct. But beautifully crafted. It's no longer a wrong choice. It's no choice at all. It's a denial of the right choice.
That's what the other branch is?
Yeah, the other branch, if you did just go straight forward, like it says in the next sentence here. Now, number two, you must go either one way or the other. Got it. For now, if you go and now means now that you are a Course in Miracles student and you know you're responsible, that you live your thoughts. You don't live the circumstances of the world. You follow me? You live your thoughts about the circumstances of the world.
Yes.
That is a Course in Miracles student who's paying attention. Your mind is healed that much where you're not the automatic victim anymore. Even if you slip back and blame the government or blame your partner every once in a while, but you kind of sober up, don't you? And you say, I could have done that differently. You know what? I think that was my ego. Right? That's the healing of A Course in Miracles taking effect in your life. That's what this paragraph is talking about, which I love the way Jacqueline pointed it out and said, you know what? This is kind of calling you out. Are you going to take responsibility or not? I love the way she pulled that out of this. And some people say, no, I need help. I'm not choosing. I need help. I need my circumstances to change so that I can be happy. That's what their head is. They're not ready to say, it didn't touch them. They haven't been touched to know that it's much easier to put on a pair of slippers than to carpet the whole world. What a difference. One pair of slippers. I can do that. And then whatever I walk on, it will be gentle to me. What a good choice. You change. Don't change the world. You put on shoes. That's A Course in Miracles student paying attention. And receiving the gift and the power of your own mind. That's what we're talking about here. If you go the way that you came, your way that you came was the ego struggle. I'm a victim. I've been poorly treated. People should treat me better. Or I should have had a better childhood and then I'd be better off now. Or my mom should have been more caring to train and teach me and, you know, whatever. I should have, coulda.
Okay, so if you go to line 7, I'm getting back to my question.
Sure.
What paragraph?
The same paragraph, one.
Number one. Well, let me get there. For now, if you go straight ahead, the way you went before you reached the branch, okay? Now, because of what you who you are, your Course in Miracles did, now, you will go nowhere. Do you see that's not the wrong way? Nowhere isn't wrong. It's nowhere. It's a branch in the road, okay? So you're aware of the choice of denying joy yet again. And there in you now knows you can choose joy. You can choose peace at least. If not joy and happiness and love and bringing light, you can at least be peaceful and not attack. However far you've gone, all right, because there's multiple levels of accomplishment or potential here. However far, now that you're at this page with me tonight, I can be certain for all of us here. And for all of us here, for sure. You can deny being happier. You can deny it, and you can circle in darkness. But the gig is up for you. You know, if you continue to pursue unhappiness, you just need to go back to your Course in Miracles, don't you? And recover your life and pull it out of the mud. Don't you know that? I'm sure you do. So, great sentence. It says, if you go straight ahead the way that you went before, BC, before course, the way before you reach the branch, you'll go nowhere. Look, the whole purpose of coming this far was to decide which branch you'll take now. The way you came no longer matters. The past is over. It can touch me not. Lesson 155. It can no longer serve, because all those things that you were leveraging in the past, you now see were pointed at too limited and too selfish and too small of an existence. Ego, they're petty ego ways. Number six. That's the closer. Number seven.
That's the one I want you to talk about.
Ask your question.
No one who reaches this far, in other words, the branch on the road.
Yeah, no one who reaches this far, you've taken personal responsibility with A Course in Miracles, and you know that if you're unhappy, it's not the situation that made you unhappy. It is you who judged it and made yourself unhappy. That's how far you have come, if you've been paying attention. Go ahead.
So no one who reaches this far, thus far, thus can make the wrong decision. In other words, we come to a branch in the road, we can't make a mistake if we're this far along?
Yeah, that's correct. You can't make a wrong decision. You can't do the wrong thing again because you have been essentially awoken.
So we can't take the wrong branch of the road.
If you take the wrong branch of the road, you actually just don't do anything. You go nowhere.
So it's like going along the path we were going before.
Yeah. Before you were working on perfect degradation, you were getting more and more separate. But now that you've taken some responsibility, the gig is up. I mean, the light has come. You can deny it. You can try. But you will fail again and again trying to find light and true love in this world. This is a place where you escape true love. That's what it's been designed to do. Escape God. Escape your true inheritance, creation. Escape true freedom, even. You don't even have true freedom here. You do have freedom of mind, but only if you stay away from the limits of the body. Do you see? That's why for some people, music and art and some of these pursuits that are limitless are the only thing satisfying. Reality leaks just that way. Do you see? So you learn your mind is pining for the unlimited. You actually are unlimited. You actually are creator. But you actually are addicted to this idea of being a character. It's like being a cartoon character on a page in pencil. You can, with effort, draw the cartoon. Maybe so it rides a bicycle so you don't get bored. So you have to draw a bicycle too. And then frame after frame, which is what time is for, you make the bicycle pedals turn and the bicycle moves. And you have to draw your character on top of the bicycle. This is very effortful. Because if you're making something, which is fun, it's not a problem, it's not a sin. But it's very hard and it's very limited. Your true state is a straight keyword is from A Course in Miracles, abstract, unlimited, and creative. But that you get a taste of that freedom here, like I say, with music or with a really good friend that you'd feel completely defenseless and you guys can just talk about anything. You've been there. How free, how wonderful is that? I mean, that's good living. You just get a hint with those kind of relationships. You just get a hint of what it means to easily share. That's a holy relationship, just like that. Now, no one who reaches this far can make the wrong decision. Wrong could kind of be, maybe italicized or in quotes, Luann. Because wrong means deleterious or harmful. There's nothing harmful. You can delay. And Jesus says, I'll just wait till you're ready. I'm out of time, so it's like no big deal. If you want to delay, I'll be right here exactly in your mind right where you left me. And I'm not sweating it. If you are, right? So that's why I love how Jacqueline pulled this out, because this really is a metaphysical challenge to your mind. Easy for a Course in Miracles student who says, I'm loving it. Bring it on. I want more awakening. Okay. So no one who reaches this far can make the wrong decision, comma, although you can delay. You got it, Luann? Does that make sense? Ask it again if it doesn't make sense.
Well, you solved my problem when you said there's no one who reaches this far, in other words, a branch in the road, can make the wrong decision.
Yes.
You've come this far at this level of understanding.
Yes.
You can't go wrong, except we can delay.
Yeah, let me explain it another way. As a Course in Miracles student, you even have a branch in the road. An egomaniac doesn't have a branch in the road. There's no off-ramp. It's all straight to attack and defense. There's no other way to consider it. I was treated wrong. I deserve better. Poor me. Victim, victim, victim. And I think I'm going to go attack to make things better. There's no off-ramp. But you, Course in Miracles student, you have a branch on the road. You could choose peace. Even as you make arrangements for divorce. Okay. No one who reaches this far can make the wrong decision, although he can delay. And there is no part of the journey that seems more hopeless and futile than standing where the road branches and not deciding which way to go. Okay. Elsewhere in the book, it says that there's a new source of depression. Now that you've taken on the spiritual journey and you've taken on some self-responsibility, there's a new source of depression here, because now when you have a problem, you can't blame it on somebody else. You got to blame it on you.
I went through that.
Very good.
I still am on occasion, that's for sure.
It's kind of depressing.
And when you use the word blame,
yep,
that doesn't seem helpful.
Talk to me. Good.
Well, I think, you know, my ego would blame me. Really, I guess that's what the problem is for me.
Yep.
I don't think Holy Spirit will blame me.
No.
So if I take the blame, that's the ego going to blame. Yes. The ego would love. The ego does blame me.
The ego needs a victim, and you're it.
Yeah.
We feel the blame in the form of depression.
Say it again.
We blame ourselves, absolutely, from the ego. You're right. But what I think that Andrew is saying is that can lead to depression. And when we're not progressing with this Course in Miracles, we feel like we failed.
Yep.
I think that's a little bit about what Jacqueline was saying when she said people go along and then all of a sudden they just say this is ridiculous. Not possible.
Yep. Everybody wants to be free. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be progressing. What do you got, Mark?
On those lines, what I'm thinking is it's coming from the guilt of the initial separation.
Yep. Tell us more.
So I separated. I think I did anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I separated from my source.
Mm-hmm.
And damn, it's amazing how 20-something years I heard the Course talk about guilt. And I kept telling myself, no, that I don't have that. I don't have that. And now, man, I can see it.
Wow.
It's just, so I'm thinking, you're saying the word blame, and I'm thinking, okay, that comes from the initial separation. for me separating from God. And so I have all this guilt, and then I'm going to project it and blame it on one of you. Mm-hmm. And then I think I'm going to get free from that.
Somehow that would be good. Yeah.
Yeah, but it does not work.
Uh-huh.
Because then I just realize in my own lessons that I feel terrible after I project all this blame or guilt onto you. But I get it now where the guilt is. It's clear. So when you guys were saying blame, that's what was coming up for me.
Tell us more about this guilt as separating from God. Why does that matter? What's missing? If you separated from God, didn't you get more free?
No. I left the oneness, the love. I had everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it all away for nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm so tremendously guilt-ridden. It's so overwhelming that I projected onto everyone around me and including myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very important, this guilt word, in this contemplation that you're having. This may be your doorway, Mark, which is the perfect book. Because it says, the Course says, at the bottom of it all is guilt. Bottom of it all. Fear and anger separate everything. It all goes to the bottom of it all is guilt. And what I came to was a recognition that when it says guilt, it means literally, literally guilt, not some fancy, hard, personal, special emotion. It means, for me, and it seems to be all over the book once I realize this, that the word guilt literally means one thing acting on another. That I acted on God and I did something that God did not approve. That I did it. This, push that over. Guilt. It happened. This acted on that poor thing and beat it against its will. Separation is born. We have two. Duality is born. A victim, and a victimizer. Guilt. It summarizes the whole descent into hell, that one word.
But,
and isn't it the believing in that's the problem?
Yes, Don. It's knowing that that's true. Believing is not strong enough, my friend. It's knowing.
Convinced it's true.
Yeah. Convinced so much that we're not discussing it. Like I say that you know something that's not true. That's your problem. What am I talking about? You know separation, and you know that you are separate from, say, Jacqueline. You know it.
Would you,
like to say we're all the same? What?
Yeah, as long as I believe I'm a body.
Bingo.
And the what I'm kind of understanding is that this character, Don, is as long as I think I'm a character in the dream, as long as I identify as a character in the dream and don't realize that I am the dreamer of the dream, then I'm stuck in suffering. And if I haven't yet I haven't yet fully realized I'm the dreamer of the dream.
Yes.
But I have the idea that when I do realize that, I won't have pain and suffering.
That is correct.
I won't have guilt.
That is correct.
Because I won't be that character in the dream that does feel guilt and did do things that it thinks it deserves punishment for, or you know, and does think other people are punishing it and not loving it and that it's not loving and all that.
You will realize in one thought, Don, you will replace one four-letter word with another. You will replace L-O-S-S, loss. That's a four-letter word. You replace loss with L-O-V-E. The same circumstance will be translated.
It's interesting. There's a lot of four-letter words that go along with loss. Fear and hate.
Whoa. Fear, hate. Yeah. Ooh, good.
And fuck.
And which?
And fuck, the word fuck.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Goes along with that as well.
Yeah. Let's not forget that. Lynn, what do you got?
I wanted to go back to what Mark was saying. I think, Mark, that you're saying almost the same thing. You're saying that from the beginning, you did something you shouldn't do. And that has made you feel guilty. And I think we're just saying that we, those of us who feel guilty, which for sure is me, I feel guilty because I have done it, but not because I did it then. It's because I'm still doing it.
Amen, sister. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well said, Luann. Thank you. That's teaching.
Yeah, it's the doing of it that I want to stop doing.
Yes, it's and like Don said as well, it's believing now, committing now to these thoughts that they're still real and I am subject to them. Rather than love being true, I would replace loss with love right now, and then I have love. A Course in Miracles, show me how that's true right now. Well, you need to go to the workbook. Well, Jesus says, for starters, nothing you see means anything. And everything you see, you give it all the meaning it has for you. Even these thoughts don't mean nothing. And you see only the past. I mean, what a great way to start to release all your stinking thinking that makes you think guilt and loss is real. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Well, it's you're talking about. What I wanted to share even before you talked about replacing loss with love. What I've been leaning towards is the guilt is so subconscious, even though we can talk about it and I have kind of the same perspective about the guilt, and I feel like I've gotten in touch with it, you know, that, okay, there's this original guilt, which is the same guilt over and over and over again. The whole world is made up of it, you know. Okay. But it's a trust and innocence in my innocence. So turning towards trusting that what Course in Miracles is telling me mm-hmm. about my innocence, mm-hmm. because I can't really get to that subconscious. I can maybe become aware of it. I'm aware of it, but it's still very subconscious, the guilt. I mean, mm-hmm. we can't really give it up to say, okay, well, I'll give it up. I'm not going to believe it. It seems to, you know, we're sort of without the help of Holy Spirit, Jesus, or the right, that aspect of our minds. They say, we, you know, that's for the subconscious. And, of course, the forgiveness and all of that is the very slow unwinding, undoing.
Yeah. The conscious and, therefore, the subconscious are both domains of the ego. And you can step out of your consciousness and out of your subconsciousness by getting present. Getting still and getting absolutely present. Stepping, you can step out of time. If you haven't yet, it's time for you to take some short meditations where you step out of time. Not big, long ones where you try hard. No, just keep asking the Holy Spirit to allow you to feel timeless for just an instant. It's a holy instant, not a holy second or a holy minute or a holy hour. It's a holy instant because as you awaken to your spiritual identity, you actually step out of time. So you don't notice it like the body and the ego notices it, right? You don't notice, I was so peaceful for about 3.5 minutes or 3.5 days. It's one now after the other. It's timeless and it's instant, and you can achieve it very suddenly. So don't try for a full second even. You see what I'm saying? It's in between the seconds. A lot of freedom right there. And it accumulates. You have a holy instances. You step out of time and it accumulates because it gets more familiar. That freedom sense, a freedom feeling for you, Mark, it might be, whoa, there was no guilt for a few seconds. I don't know how long, but that was what I was free, and you'll never forget it. That's an awakening. And you get ratcheted. You took a step. And it gets ratcheted up forever. It doesn't ever go away. That's why you reach the branch in the road. You have a branch in the road and you can't go backwards because your life's been redefined. You're free now. Even if just a little. And that's because you stepped out of time for a moment. You thought, it's happened to me. So, you know, I do my Course in Miracles lessons, these meditations and stuff. And I realized that these instances that were occurring to me as I would just go still. And feel the freedom, feel the certainty of this, of my spiritual identity. They were more happy, joyful, loving, promising, permanent than anything the world had ever offered my entire life. I can't go back. My heart filled in those instants and it hasn't gone away and I can't go back. So you can't go back. You can deny going forward, but you can't go back. That's a really, really, really great paragraph. Great section for us to study. Well, thank you, everybody, for studying Course in Miracles with me.
Thank you, everybody.
And all of you, your wonderful personal comments. I mean, that really brings it alive, and it helps everybody else make these personal commitments in their life to choose peace and joy. So let's do it again next week.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. You are welcome.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Good night.